Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is May 31st, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for our weekly business session on the last day of May in 2017. Kind of crazy. Year is going by in a flash. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance, so please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We've got a pretty brief agenda here today. If you take the opportunity to put your cell phones on silent or vibrate, we'd sure appreciate that. We're going to go through the administrative calendar, and before taking action, we'll take public comment, item number two. Please state your name and address for the record. You'll be provided 3 minutes. Then we'll come back and take action on the administrative calendar before moving into approval of the consent calendar and other items for the board. So item number 1A is approval of intergovernmental lease agreement between Josephine County and State of Oregon, OYA. And we have Mr. Goodwin, our juvenile justice director, here this morning to present this item.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Real simply here this morning, the reason this is before the full board, really for the first time, OIA, who has leased office space in our juvenile justice center since 1999, since we opened the building, has asked for, we usually do a 2 or a 3 year lease, they've asked for a 4 year. That pushes the total amount value in revenue to $58,783 and some change over 4 years. So basically we guarantee them 3 offices. Rough numbers are around $400 a month. They provide all their own IT. We give them only a phone extension. And that's our, what we, and some janitorial. So that's what this is about. It is an income to the department that we have enjoyed. We have the space to give. And like I said, this is an agreement we've had since 1999.
That's not going to interfere with the uptick of your facility over there?
No, these offices are in juvenile justice proper, which is in the building that we continue to occupy.
The front
not the space will be in the shelter detention facility.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. I was aware of a lease with OIA, but this coming before the board, and we didn't have an admin meeting last week, so that also gave it kind of a question in my mind of what we were doing here today. So thank you so much, Mr. Goodwin. Really appreciate it. Any other questions? Item number 1B is approval of order number 2017-025 in the matter of utility work requiring the temporary closure of a portion of Leonard Road. And report and recommendation, we have Mr. Brandis, esteemed Public Works Director, here this morning to brief us on this. Fairly routine, but
a fairly routine, typical, yes, order. Rob Brandis, Public Works. So, yes, Timber Mountain construction had come to us asking for a closure of Leonard for a subdivision that's going in. This would be this side of the fire station in Redwood School to kind of give you an idea of what we're talking about. There are cross streets nearby, so the detours are going to be fairly short. They will close it up at night with plates. Probably a 2-day job, hopefully, but once they won't know until they start digging, because this is a water main running down the line of the road there. So single lane closure is not really an option. They won't know entirely what they've got till they get in there, but I suspect it's a 2-day closure. I also suspect they will start as soon as the board order has elapsed with the appropriate notices. So probably next Tuesday, I would guess they're cutting.
Where is it located again?
It's on Leonard Road, this side of the school and fire station by about a quarter mile. So you've got Willow Inn on one side and Kokanee on the other for your detours if need be.
Okay.
Have you spoke with the fire department as far as any response times that it's going to impact them at all?
They would be noticed as well, but it's effectively, it shouldn't matter if they were coming back this direction. They would use Darnielle before they even got to the closure.
Great. Sounds good to me. Any other considerations we need to be aware of?
I think just maybe one to think about for the future is obviously the commissioners in this county are the road authority, and that's kind of a bit of a hodgepodge as you go across the state. This may be one of those times where you want to consider ceding some of that authority to Public Works for this, standard stop sign installations. We could certainly work up a report and recommendation for you all to consider. If we're talking about a closure of a Lake Lakeshore Drive, for example, for a full summer or a year, we would obviously bring that to the board to have a full-blown public hearing. But we may want to talk about for routine stuff. I don't know if the board would like to continue hearing about these, but it would certainly save some of your time and our time, obviously, to cede some of the more routine ones to us. So
I'd be in favor of having you work with the liaison, Commissioner DeYoung, on making a recommendation. I think you're referencing stop signs and such, maybe to a threshold where we could delegate either the liaison or the director to make those decisions. But I think you're quite right with larger road closures like Lakeshore and others. It might be a little bit more challenging to delineate that threshold that would come to the board, but I think it's something that you and the liaison commissioner could
sure.
work on, and
sure.
that would be great. We've refined a lot of different policies that have been delegated to the liaisons, and it seems to have worked so far. We can always, you know, bring that authority back to the board if there's something that goes not quite right, but I think that's worked well.
Do you let the neighbors know or anything that that's going to go on?
Absolutely, absolutely. And this was kind of a perfect example because Timber Mountain came in and they basically said, hey, can we get the road closed tomorrow? It wasn't quite that. It's like, no, there's a public process, but this obviously adds 5 days to it. So it wouldn't have been perfect for their schedule, but it would have sped it up a bit, not going through this hoop, if you will. So.
Okay.
How do we notice them? Isn't there, I've seen the practice of you put out one of those reader boards to be aware of a change in traffic pattern in the future, either on either side, so a couple of days in advance, all of those users in that area are, regardless of whether or not they're like a resident in that area where they wouldn't get a mailing, and that's kind of expensive, and you may catch everybody, but you probably don't.
Right.
Whereas the regular users of that would be aware of it, like the bus schedules, those kinds of things.
Somewhat site-specific, too. So like for the U Creek cohort that we did a couple months back, that was put up signs a ways in advance. For this one, we would certainly send direct mailings to the businesses, specifically the school, to say, hey, your bus schedule is going to get changed a slight bit for a couple days. So it is somewhat site-specific and time-length specific.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're going to plate that in the evening time,
right,
covered up, so they go back to normal after.
Right. So effectively, it'd be 7 to 7, it's probably closed.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so much. Item number two is requests and comments from citizens. This is an opportunity to come before the board to air any questions you have. So please state your name and address for the record. General locale of your address is fine. Anyone coming forward, just raise your hand and come up to the podium. This is your opportunity for item number two. Going once. Sold. We'll come back to the administrative calendar and take action on item 1A is approval of intergovernmental lease agreement between Josephine County and the State of Oregon, OYA. Yes?
I would make an motion that we approve the lease with allowing signature of the liaison as the form only allows one signature.
Okay.
A second that?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Sometimes we delegate the chair as the representative of the board as a county rep, but I think in this situation, the lease agreement. I've signed for forestry, and that leases are a little bit different when we're. This is an intergovernmental agreement. I think delegating someone from the board, we'll figure out from finance exactly who they want on that. Makes sense. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me.
I mean,
who it does.
I did it for airport, so that's why I picked liaison.
Sure, sounds
so.
Totally fine. Any other discussion? Thanks, Mr. Goodwin. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung.
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 1B is approval of order number 2017-025 in the matter of utility work requiring the temporary closure of a portion of Leonard Road and report and recommendation.
Make a motion that order number 2017-025 be approved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
I just want to make sure that because it says and report and recommendation, that we're not approving anything in that portion other than to authorize the director to speak with the liaison about a recommendation in the future.
This is a report and recommendation to close that road. That's
okay.
All. The other one is totally separate in business.
Just making sure.
Yep, good. Isn't included in the motion. Anything else? Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 3 is approval of the consent calendar made up of various minutes of the board. Item 3A, it's an administrative workshop on the 18th and a weekly business session on the 22nd.
I'm going to make a motion that we approve the consent calendar, item 3A.
Okay.
And moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan? Yes. Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Any other items that should properly come before the board at this time? If not, we'll move on to item 5, which is matters from commissioners. Commissioner DeYoung.
I just want to let everybody know that we're working on our noise problem out here to the north, to the south. We'll be working on that. Building operation and maintenance is bringing a plan of landscape. We're going to do some landscaping work out there in the near future. If everything looks right money wise, so we can expect some changes between here and the courthouse. There's an awful lot of resources from the city's public work or public safety department that spends a tremendous amount of time out here working with these folks, and so I think that'll probably change in the near future.
Commissioner Morgan?
I would like to just report, last week I attended the Western Interstate Regional Conference of the National Association of Counties. This is everything from the Dakotas West, essentially, is part of this region, but Oregon was hosting. And some of my takeaways from that I think are applicable to our area is just seeing a little further. FEMA has been sued by environmental groups regarding not protecting endangered species and waterways by allowing any development, or no, by providing flood insurance. And anybody in a flood zone is required to have flood insurance or their loan is in default. So this has created quite a stir nationwide for these lawsuits to come forward and FEMA to be essentially held accountable for encouraging development and not protecting endangered species. The impact in Oregon, for instance, is the entire county of Tillamook County essentially cannot develop. And so that is one area that I've asked for more information. I exchanged contact information with their attorney to kind of see impacts in Josephine County. Because the one thing that Tillamook County, for example, they are exemplary in doing trying to be mindful of species and making waterways for salmon under roadways to get back to waterway to the ocean, and they have this natural fish escape through their community, through their flood zones, and none of those things that they've done to mitigate the millions of dollars they've spent to mitigate endangered species is not considered in this plan. They're not getting credit for it. And so I really am curious the impact for Josephine County, so I want to follow up with that. Some of the other encouraging things, I went to a marijuana it was one of the conferences that they held, or the classes, and we're not alone in what we're facing. That was very obvious that even though Josephine County, they have representatives from Humboldt County, California there. And it was interesting hearing from their supervisors of what they've been dealing with. We're only one county away from them. We're only separated by Delmar County. And so they're probably one of the nearest comparables to dealing with the green rush, as you would say. And so it was interesting to see that perspective and kind of just realizing there's other resources we can utilize and contact to learn more about opportunities of improvement and opportunities for economy. So there were other ones there, including land use, but I also want to leave time for Commissioner Hare to speak. So.
We're right way ahead of schedule. So I think Melissa Cribbins is probably the lead from Coos County. She's also the co-chair of the Energy, Environment, and Land Use for Association of Oregon Counties. She's well up to speed on that with the lawsuit you're talking about. It's a $500 buy-in from the original petitioners, and it might be well worth our effort. I know that there's been pretty significant changes. Even the first iteration of a flood map for Josephine County and the state of Oregon, they're working on another iteration of that just a few years later that is, far excess of where they started originally. And I know talking to some old-timers about their properties specifically who were here during the 64 flood, the 100-year flood or 500-year flood, whatever you want to characterize it as, that their maps are delineating things that didn't even happen then. And there really hasn't been a whole lot of changes to the river patterns. And so that they're being developed by somebody in Washington, D.C. or what have you. And it's not a really good reflection of what's going on the ground. I know I've talked to Rob Brandis about some of these issues that we've had on the Applegate River and other places that are like, Well, you know, it might, but it really probably isn't going to do that. And then there are measures we could do to prevent some of these FEMA flooding situations. And I don't know, I just feel like it's kind of gotten a little bit of a disconnect with what's going on the ground here. And a lot of effort for not a lot of bang for the buck. I just got an email on conservation community groups have litigated the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife or petitioned them to revisit the marble murrelet designation from threatened to endangered. And really, the efficacy of making that designation, when you look at the spotted owl, and it was introduced in the late 90s, and the result of that was a 93% reduction in federal forest management and no appreciable increase in the number of spotted owl. So is there a direct correlation with that forest management practices of the past, or even in the late 90s, not going back even further, to the benefit of threatened and endangered species? It just, one of the things that I learned at the Forest Service's 20-year look back that I went to up in Washington 2 years ago was the idea that owl habitat exclusively in old growth forests was not prime. They needed, spotted owl needs that interface between older forests and younger sural forests in order to thrive. They want to live in the old forest, but they hunt in the early sural forest where a clear cut happens. And it's so if we reduce the opportunities for those kinds of early sural forests to be on the landscape, there were those in the audience who were theorizing that might have had a more negative effect on their ability to combat the invasion of the barred owl. And so the spotted owl is, by everybody's measure, going to be extinct by either 2035 or 2050. And there's really virtually nothing you can do to stop that natural progression. Its genetics will live on through a hybrid that has been, as a result of it, interbreeding with the barred owl. All that to say that as humans, we try to manage things and we'll go to the greatest length to do so. Rivers are going to meander, erosion is going to continue, and there is no measure that humans can do to really stop that eventual progression of nature. So it's just, I think that we need to push back when we try to do the nth degree and have a huge detrimental effect on either Tillamook's entire economy, our local economy, or others. And so making strategic decisions on that. That's basically what the WIR conference was for me, is that it's a chance for people to come together, talk about their similar issues that are going on. There were a ton of breakout sessions that I thought were pretty relevant. If that conference would have been going on in Idaho or Wyoming, I know the previous one was in Alaska and then Hawaii, I certainly wasn't going to travel to those, but being that it was in Sun River Bend area in Deschutes County, it made a whole lot of sense to travel by car over there to get to that one. I don't anticipate going to those in the future, but NACO certainly is leading the charge and doing a pretty good job on the national level of making sure that counties' voices are heard. And there was an ONC presentation to a small number of people who were interested in that issue. It's a little tough when ONC is only applicable to 18 Western Oregon counties, but we're continuing the struggle on that. I was just being briefed on, there's an element that our last appropriation, so it was shared receipts, not a secure rural schools or discretionary funds by the federal government, was subject to sequestration. It was about 5.69%, and where our opinion was is that it should not be subject to sequestration. It means about $150,000 to Josephine County, but if we were to increase those harvest levels to where we were even half of historic levels, that starts to mean real money. $500,000 is not chump change to Josephine County, and so we're looking to try to get that issue solved now and as opposed to in the future sometime. So those are my comments. I had a good Memorial weekend. I think there was a lot of You've got the airport 555th anniversary of the smoke jumpers this next weekend, right?
It's this weekend, Saturday, June 3rd, and 8 a.m. they start with the fireman's breakfast, and then by 9 o'clock some of the festivities for the kids start. And they go through the history with the Japanese balloon bombs and how some of those landed in Oregon. The whole idea was that they were going to start forest fires and destroy Oregon. And so they had 555th Infantry was deployed to Oregon as smoke jumpers, and they experienced the first smoke jumper fatality in the United States here in Oregon, and they are honoring that man that gave his life and also the infantry itself, and they're dedicating a highway out near the airport, and so there's going to be a ceremony at the Illinois Valley Airport, and so there'll be tours of the Smoke Jumper Museum and the base out there, and so it goes from 8 a.m. to 12:30 on Saturday, and it's going to be a pretty neat thing to be a part of.
So. One thing I wanted to say about the Smoke Jumpers Museum, it has come a long way since I took office 6 years ago. It was kind of a, I wouldn't say it was a shabby little area, but it needed some serious attention. And man, it looks really sharp. And no county dollars went into this. It was all volunteers, the labor, and all the resources that they put into rehabbing those buildings out there. I went for a run in the Sun River at about 6 o'clock, and I ran out to the airport, and I went in just to check it out and stuff, and I saw in their brochures, one of the most prominent ones out front was of the Illinois Valley Smoke Jumper Museum, and I thought that was kind of neat. It was at the Sun River Airport there. So, Commissioner DeYoung, you had something?
Yeah, I do remember the smoke jumpers. I'm old enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm just going back to the FEMA and flood insurance and everything. I live on Gilbert Creek, and I got all the notices, you know, that said you need flood insurance and you have to do this. I mean, I think Commissioner Morgan said something about if you didn't get flood insurance, your mortgage would be automatically in default. And I don't have a mortgage, so I questioned that because I looked at the map coming through Grants Pass where Gilbert Creek comes through Grants Pass. I said, boy, it's just ironic that that floodplain, floodway thing along Gilbert Creek is never any wider than a felt marker. Because it just looks like they went down and just felt markered it all the way down. And that's in where it came around my corner, I was in it. But because of the terrain change, elevation change between me and the people across the creek, it would never reach my house, no matter what. I'd have to flood all the way over to Hawthorne before I was even anywhere close to being flooded. But it all seems, I think FEMA's interest in it is that people don't buy flood insurance when they really probably should, and then something comes along and their part of their house washes away and they should have had flood insurance. And I'm probably in that also. And then they turn immediately to the government and they go to FEMA and say, I want my house rebuilt, and the wind blew my house down, and they always turn to FEMA. And I think FEMA, because they stepped into that role, is now all of a sudden realizing that they can't sustain that. And so they've got to do something, I think, to encourage people to go back in the insurance game and get themselves, take care of themselves a little bit. Flood insurance is quite expensive. It was like $600 a year for my house, which is, pretty spending.
An interesting part of that is that the federal government has been the only provider of flood insurance for a long time, and it requires a reauthorization by Congress to even provide it. So there's been a couple times where Congress has waited on that, and then they had people going into default on their loans because they couldn't get flood insurance, even though the only one that authorized it, or Congress is the only one who could authorize it, there was only one carrier in the United States. So there are some definition issues related to this, and like Commissioner Hare was saying, they're changing the floodways, they're going to the 500-year floodplain, they're wanting no development whatsoever in any of these floodways that they're defining. And in some places like Auburn, Kent, Washington areas, they have complete industrial parks in these areas. They want no development whatsoever. And they've had one plan fits all no matter what's already there. And so there's definitely, and what I found about this is a very bipartisan issue. This is not Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal. The people that are heading up the lawsuits countering this are actually very strong environmentalists themselves who have said this doesn't make sense. And so for me, I think we just need to make sure that we look into what is the impact in Josephine County. Do we look into that $500 buy-in on the lawsuit to say, push back and say, this isn't realistic, this isn't reasonable. And so if it is something that potentially will impact our county, we will want to look at it.
I think it affects a lot of it. Like, out, for instance, out in the Applegate area, the Applegate seems to meander around from year to year out there, and they're, the floodplain, floodway floodplain thing is clear up to North Applegate Road. And I question that because I don't know, the Applegate River, it really doesn't have a whole bunch of water in it even when it's flooding, and how it could raise, you know, when it, as soon as it crests the banks, it's got to go a long ways in each direction. And it takes a lot of water to raise, and when you go this way, it takes a lot of water to go this way. And I don't know if they have potential out there, and I don't know how they judge that or who's gauging that or whatever. So I, you know, the $500, I think we ought to talk about it. Definitely.
Sounds good. Well, I think those are the end of our comments. So yep. Nothing further. Board is adjourned at 9:26. Thank you all.